Welcome back. Ida Rodriguez joins us.
What's up, guys?
Hey, I feel like I haven't done the show with you forever.
I know, I get put in TYT jail sometimes, I think. I go so hard. Then no. I get put out. I've been on the road actually,
yeah,
promoting
have.
My album. Yeah, and I've really been, you guys promoting my album, I just want to say thank you, because promoting my album on TYT, I did really well sales-wise.
Nice, so. Congratulations. Yeah, I've been following you on Instagram and you're just all over the place. It's awesome.
Well, where do they get your album? Do it now.
Oh, iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play.
Called?
It's called I'll Say It For You.
All right.
It's right in line with the brand sometimes.
All right, before we get to the stories, just a few TYT lives, and I want to do member shout-outs as well. Vance Miller says, it's obvious to me, but if you want to point out who the real criminals in America are, look no further than political offices.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting because we criticize human rights abuses while we simultaneously support legislation that would allow government workers to discriminate against gay kids and not provide services to them simply because they're gay or they're family members might be gay. It's insane. Annie O'Neill says, those receiving the most entitlements are sitting in the Oval Office, sick, with an exclamation mark. Lots of truth being spit at us, you know, I like that. Or toward us, alongside with us. I don't know how you would
take that. I'm not spitting at you, I'm spitting with you.
With you, we're spitting together.
MCs.
All right, just wanna give some member shout outs since you guys are amazing and help keep us independent. Scott Johnner, thank you. And also Kristen Friend. What a cool last name.
Yeah.
Aw, thank you for being a friend.
I don't like her.
All right, guys, let's move on to some news. Recently, there was a shocking case involving a young girl who, through text messaging, encouraged her boyfriend of 2 years to commit suicide. Unfortunately, the 18-year-old man did commit suicide, and as a result, Michelle Carter, the girlfriend who was encouraging him and also instructing him on how to commit suicide, had to stand trial. Now, the case is novel and the outcome is also unprecedented. She has been convicted of involuntary manslaughter. She faces 10 years in prison and will be sentenced sometime in August. Now, to give you some details on this story and how it all came about, Conrad Roy was found dead in the cab of his pickup truck in the parking lot of a Kmart on July 13th of 2014 with a tube from a generator pumping in carbon monoxide. Up to the moment that he passed out from the toxic fumes, then 17-year-old Carter was on the telephone with him. She later informed friends, when he had doubts and climbed out of the truck, she ordered him back in. All right, I have more details. Let me give you a few more examples of how she encouraged him, and then I want you guys to jump in. She can hear him coughing, and she can hear him. She can hear the loud noise of the motor. It constituted wanton and reckless conduct by Ms. Carter, creating a situation where there is a high degree of likelihood that substantial harm would result to Mr. Roy. That's according to Lawrence Moniz, who was the judge in this case. And by the way, this was not a jury trial. The defense believed that it would be more fair if the judge made the ruling on his own. And you know, in this case, of course, she gets convicted, and we'll see how long her sentence will be. The judge also says, where one's action creates a life-threatening risk to another, there is a duty to take responsible steps to alleviate the risk. Also in her texts, leading to his death, Carter belittled her boyfriend for failing to make good on previous threats to commit suicide and made him promise that he would follow through. She sent him research on different methods, including hanging and jumping off a high building. She finally settled on carbon monoxide poisoning. Carter advised Roy to do it away from home so that nobody could interrupt and stop his death.
She sounds great. Sounds like a catch. You know, my initial reaction to this was that this is crazy that she would be, you know, he did it. It's suicide. Mm-hmm. It's no manslaughter involved in a suicide. I still might feel that way because it's tough. But that said, her behavior is sort of inhuman, although I suspect in her head she thought she was helping, right? Maybe. best case scenario.
So she also suffered from psychological issues. She had an eating disorder, and she also suffered from, you know, psychological issues, which I don't want to comment on because I'm not a mental health professional and I don't know the details. But you know, it's interesting because it didn't start off with her encouraging him to commit suicide. In the beginning, she seemed to discourage him. And then later on, she encouraged him, but did so very aggressively, right? Taunting him or mocking him for not following through, for failing to do so. He had attempted to commit suicide a couple times previously. You know, here's another example of something that she messaged him. And you can't break a promise and just go in a quiet parking lot or something. When Roy wrote that he didn't want to hurt his parents, Carter reassured him, "I think your parents know you're in a really bad place. I'm not saying they want you to do it, but I honestly feel like they can accept it." If you're incredibly depressed and you hear someone that you're with say, "I think your parents will get over it or accept it," I don't know what the right commentary is on this story. It's just a really difficult thing to comment on.
I'll just say this. It's very hard to decipher between this being a severe case of mental illness or the mean girl illness, because we do have issues with mean girls and we see it more and more. They tend to look alike in the media. But what I will say this is that one thing is we got to stop ignoring mental illness in this country. We really have to stop thinking that we can just fix it at home, that we can talk people out of their mental illnesses. Some people really need medication because from what I read, they were gonna commit suicide together, like a Romeo Juliet type thing, and then she backed out of it, and then she encouraged him. And it just seems like more and more we keep hearing stories of situations that sound completely hard to understand when you're normal. But I just think that I'm not making excuses for her. I do feel some kind of way about you being accountable for your own suicide. And it's, you know, what if you walk around and other people tell you, are you going to be subject to what other people say? And if that's the case, are we going to go around prosecuting everybody who says something that could lead someone who's mentally ill to their own suicide? But I do think we just have to really deal with the reality of mental illness. And she sounds like no matter what's wrong with her, she needs to be put away somewhere because she just doesn't sound like she's normal. Or she's just mad evil, and that's not good either.
Well, first of all, it's strange. She didn't testify, which I think is a mistake because I get it that you might not want to testify with a jury, but once you've given up the jury trial, you've got a judge, and the judge knows how to interpret your testimony. And I would have made my case that of what they ended up having this celebrity psychiatrist, Peter Bregan, who testified in her behalf. But she's not thinking she's doing something criminal. She found a way to help her boyfriend. He wants to die, he wants to go to heaven. She'll help him just the way she wants it. That again, she's not evil, that she thought she was helping. So even though, you know, the more I read about it and the more I think about it, the less I feel like this girl ought to be in prison. Like, I get it, and it's an interesting moment that we've come to in the world of texting and social media where, you know, you can be, as they ruled, she was 100 miles away or an hour away, but virtually present because of the texting. It's a weird concept and a weird sort of new way to interpret the law. This guy killed himself. Putting her in prison for 20 years is not does not strike me as accomplishing much. I find it interesting and just worth noting that the same week that Michelle Carter is found guilty in Massachusetts in the texting suicide, that Geronimo Yanez was acquitted of killing Philando Castile.
Who actually literally shot and killed someone.
Literally shot him and admits it. But it's just, it shows you the totally different standard of how we've written the law to where as soon as a police officer says, "I feel threatened," then even though God bless the prosecutor for bringing the Philando Castile case, because most don't even get to trial and they brought a case, they attempted to put the cop away. But it is nearly impossible. And then this guy killed him. Everybody knows the facts are accepted. He killed himself. She's an hour away, but she didn't text him to stop and prompted him along and pushed him along, and that somehow that's enough.
Didn't alert. I'm nervous about the fact that you can be virtually present somewhere and that have a legal some legal consequences.
Yeah, consequences.
Because it was like conspiracy laws when they came along. It's, you were thinking about doing something, and a lot of people went to jail for being in the room with someone. Like, it makes me a little bit nervous. But I do agree with you. I wasn't here earlier when you guys covered that Philando
Castillo,
and I know that a lot of people are very upset, and I'm one of them as the mother of a young black male, which you guys hear over and over again, because every time he leaves the house, I freak out.
But is that right? You do?
Absolutely. Every single time. And I know that, and my kid is one of those kids who will not talk back and is a very good human being and is a law-abiding citizen. But that doesn't mean anything, because that other kid who was a, you know, an honor roll student and great, got shot and killed too.
Philando Castile did everything right.
Was
it
appear, right?
Yeah. But, so, you know.
But I will say to you people who do find yourselves on this side of the argument that us having this discussion amongst each other isn't really doing much. We have to really become true activists and go talk to the people who don't think like us. And we really need to get involved in, you know, the laws on a state and local level, because that's how we make a difference with this stuff.
Absolutely. Well, one person who's looking to make a difference with a change in his rhetoric is Ted Nugent. It's a very surprising story, and I'm curious to see if he actually follows through on this. But Ted Nugent is now arguing that he needs to stop engaging in hateful rhetoric. And he believes that we need to have civilized discourse in this country. Now, keep in mind that Ted Nugent is the same person who held up assault weapons and said that Obama should suck on it. I think that's what he said. I have his exact quote in just a second. But here's what he just recently said about his rhetoric. I have reevaluated my approach. This was during an interview on ABC Radio in New York. He also said that he was a street fighter who used certain harsh terms. You weren't a street fighter, dude. Like, you shat on yourself to avoid the draft. You're not a street fighter, you're a clown. But nonetheless, it's interesting that he's coming at this from a softer angle. So I wanna maybe possibly give him some credit. He says, at the tender age of 69, my wife has convinced me that I just can't use those harsh terms. I cannot and I will not. And I encourage even my friends slash enemies on the left in the Democrat and liberal world that we have got to be civil to each other, that the whole world is watching America, where you have the God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we have got to be more respectful to the other side. Now, you know, because I said that I would give you examples of what he said in the past, let's go to graphic 15. He has called President Obama a subhuman mongrel, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton a worthless bitch. During a 2007 performance, Nugent held up what appeared to be two machine guns and said that Obama could suck on my machine gun and that Clinton could ride one of these into the sunset. He also drew the attention of the Secret Service back in 2012 when he said he would be dead or in jail by this time next year if Obama got reelected. But now he realizes, or alleges to realize, that he shouldn't speak that way, and he really wants to, you know, switch up the rhetoric.
I think it's interesting that his wife convinced him to change and not his conscience.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
that it was after talking to my wife. But you know what's interesting? I love to hear people. I'm from the, like, I'm from an area where there was a lot of violence, and I love to hear people start changing up, flipping the script when people start getting shot. They're like, oh, I don't wanna do that no more.
When one of their own gets
yeah,
shot, right?
When they realize how mortal and how vulnerable and how accessible anybody can be at any moment, then you start thinking, hey, let me stop pushing all this hate, because that could be me on the other end.
Because there are a ton of unhinged individuals out there who yep. could be encouraged by the type of hateful rhetoric that's being spewed. And so, look, I agree with that notion. I think that we need to be more civil with one another, especially those that we disagree with. Things have gotten crazy, especially after this past election. I mean, you see a change of rhetoric among those who were always held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
I believe it was Daryl Issa, but I could be wrong. But recently, a reporter approached an elected official and just simply asked a question, and his response was to give her the middle finger, right? Like, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. That is not an appropriate way to handle a question from a reporter. It's also not appropriate to assault a reporter, but hey, that'll get you elected. So
But we're not going to get to this point of thoughtful civil discourse when one side, not everybody on that side, and I've grown the respect that I have developed for the few Republicans who have been adamant and consistent in their criticism of all that kind of behavior, of a congressman body slamming a reporter, of flipping a reporter off, and are consistently critical of every damn thing that the Trump administration does, because they know that it's not conservative and it's mostly not American. And it's a pretty big list. You can, follow many of them on Twitter. So where I have to change is that when this administration is over, I hope maybe I will listen to those guys, right? Because I'll think, okay, we disagree, but you guys are not insane. And you stood up when it was clearly difficult to stand up because no one else is standing up. That said, we have millions, tens of millions of Americans who don't operate from the same fact sheet that we do. And it's not up to interpretation. It's a fact sheet. It's a sheet of facts. And they think it's not there, and I think it's there. And until we sort of can get to a point where we can basically agree on, like, climate change is real, and then the argument could be, don't think we should destroy jobs. It's going to go too slow, and I think we should take a very cautious, slow approach to it. Okay, but at least we're arguing off the same set of sheets.
At least the conversation starts with an acknowledgement of the facts.
Right. Then we debate how to fix it, and you would want to fix it in a less aggressive way than I and others on the left would want to fix it. But okay, those are conversations. Not that it's made up and China did it to destroy our economy, right? And that's just one example, of course, of thousands. But every day, Trump tells these crazy lies. And I have this weekend, and I kind of recommend it. It won't last forever. But I found, through following things on Twitter, two loopy conservatives to follow. Because I thought, I want to know.
Only two?
Right. I want to know every day. These are non-famous people, but they like. And I'm not even sure they're real people because they got a lot of followers, right? And they have no show, they have no, so I'm curious. And they're like really good looking, right?
Oh, wow.
I know that sounds weird, but I was like, what is this? Is this a, but anyway, what it gave me every day, because now I'm going through my Twitter feed this morning, I'm like, what is this stuff? I'm like, oh yeah, I followed her yesterday, right? But I'm like,
I knew it was going to be a woman, by the way.
No, that is what, no question. That's what prompted it, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is this person? And I looked, and then I look more, and I'm totally curious. But they don't follow me. But they're like, it's crazy the things that they, and the crazy interpretation of the news, and so many fake stories from websites that I've never heard of, right? Stories that you can tell by the headline aren't true. But I'm curious what they're reading and what they're believing. And first of all, real quick, just this, the whole world of videos and stories about how Jeff Sessions crushed it in the Intelligence Committee.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Crushed it and put an end to any notion of collusion between Trump and Russia.
Yeah.
And but you're like, what? Well, that's at least interpretation, right? That's at least not, I mean, I guess you could think that, but it is super interesting to follow. So there is something to what Ted Nugent says. I'll take the whatever number you set before he says something hateful or awful, I'll take the under.
I think also that this call for diplomacy, because now people started to get hurt, is really interesting. But you can only push the people so far.
I think people
have reached. You know, you think about Philando, you think about the environment, you think about the economy, you think about people's jobs, you think about healthcare. The people can only take so much.
That's right. Yeah.
And you need to keep pushing them. You want us to be diplomatic? Well, we can't even, you know, our elders are not being cared for. The things that are happening in this country that are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And your president is on Twitter. This young girl just came up to me the other day and was like, do you know how many shares in Twitter Trump owns? Because don't you think it's interesting that everything he goes to Twitter for, I'm going to talk to, when I talk to the Young Turks, I'm going to tell them to get on this, because I think it's really interesting that he always takes everything to Twitter. You have presidents and, politicians going doing Twitter beef like rappers in the 90s. Like,
it's
gotten to a point. We're like
the
Lord of the Flies.
Right, and even that, I feel like, is up for interpretation, because some people think, oh, he's more accessible because he's on Twitter, so there's more transparency. But no, he uses Twitter, in my opinion, as a way of escaping any real, elaborating on his policies, actually talking to the American people in a detailed way. 140 characters of nonsense, anyone can do that, right? And so I feel like that's his way of escaping any real responsibility that he has as a president.
It's a way to speak to his base unfiltered immediately.
Yeah.
So it is effective. It's very effective for him.
And they believe him.
Right, and they believe him, as evidenced by this little new trick I've got that I'm sure a zillion other people came up with first. But it's tough to read, man. It is it's tough. But as long as we got 99% of the people are earning none of the money, and the one, as long as those, and I'm using that as a symbol of the economic disparity. But as long as that continues to happen, as long as we continue to be a country where the have and have nots division is glaring. Like, we've had it before. We've always had it. We'll accept some of it. Like, we get it. Yep. This is America. Some people are going to do a lot better than other people. And I don't think reasonable Americans, nobody wants to stop rich people from being rich, right? But we crossed some dangerous point.
Yeah.
And that frustration that we saw in Washington, and that's obviously a crazy person, just like it was with Gabby Giffords. But when we... like, we've reached, that anger is real. We saw it in November. And the idea that we can hug it out is a gigantic, gigantic, gigantic mistake.
Right.
Yeah, it's far from there.
Yeah, we got to policy it out. And then we can hug.
We do. That's a great point. All right, guys, let's take our break. And when we come back, California is fighting back against Donald Trump and his deportation policies. I'll tell you how and more when we come back from the break. Hey guys, welcome back. We're sharing horror stories from our childhood. All right, so let me read a few TYT lives. All right, Alex says, even though I'm so happy she's convicted, I don't think she should go away for a long time. She needs help, not just jail.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah,
you could convict
her
and then get her help. That's right, that's right.
That's the right response to it.
10 years, 20 years, that's crazy.
It's unlikely that she's gonna be sentenced to 20 years, but she does need mental health care, that's for certain. Mandy says, if she was mentally stable and truly concerned, she would have reached out to someone else for help. You know, there was also the way that she behaved after he had committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, upped her profile, I guess, within her school. And she had like this big event to raise money for the family. And, you know, she presented herself as some sort of hero. And that alone shows that there was something off. And then Mallory says, good job, Anna, for reminding us Ted Nugent stewing in his own poop. He is the epitome of coward phony.
By the way, but that story about Ted Nugent.
Pooping himself?
Yes, in his own, and then not, and leaving it there for 4 or 5 days before going to his draft board so that he would be, you know, deemed unfit to serve in Vietnam. He denies that story now.
I know, but he's the one who told it.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. It's like he told that story, realized that it was deeply embarrassing, and then now denies it. I mean, come on, dude.
Right.
Anyway, all right, let's focus on a little bit of good news. California has decided to deal a blow to Trump's plan to expand immigrant detention centers in the state. Now, let me be clear about something. California isn't great when it comes to these detention centers, but they have refused to expand or add more of these detention centers to house undocumented immigrants. And that's good news. So the provision in California stops local jurisdictions from signing new contracts or expanding existing contracts with US Immigration and Customs Enforcement for detaining immigrants. It also requires the state attorney general to conduct reviews of all detention facilities holding immigrants. I think this is good news, but in terms of detention facilities that house undocumented immigrants, California is actually number two. Only number two to Texas.
Wow.
And look, it's a border state, and so I'm not making excuses, but I think California should kind of reevaluate these detention centers to begin with, but I am happy that they're not expanding them. ICE is seeking a $1.2 billion increase in funding for the next fiscal year. The agency's budget calls for nearly $4.9 billion to expand detention capacity to 51,379, with the ability to hold about 49,000 adults and 2,500 families.
The conservatives will say that we, in general, when we support, this story might not technically apply this way, but when we support, like, for example, sanctuary cities, when we suggest that California should continue to have sanctuary cities and should fight the Trump administration every step of the way, they will point out that, but you won't let Oklahoma decide to ban Sharia law.
Right.
And because the conservatives are the one who relied on states' rights in order to deny rights primarily to African Americans mm-hmm. for decades and decades and decades, for over 100 years when, well, for a while they didn't have to because you could just enslave them. But when that became illegal, then we relied on states' rights for 100 and we're still using it today. It's not, for liberals, this isn't about conservatism and or isn't about federalism versus states' rights. I am in favor, whether it's from the state of California or hopefully from the federal government, of laws which are just. And when a state does it, I'm for it. When a state has a law that is anti-justice, when a state denies basic rights to human beings, then I want the federal government to step in. When it's the federal government that is denying those basic rights, then I'm in favor of the state stepping up and doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. We're in favor of doing the right thing. It's not, this isn't a constitutional class about federalism or states' rights. Right. And that may be the case here as California carves its own way in fighting the Trump administration as often as possible on immigration.
Yeah, whenever the issue of states' rights comes up, especially when it comes up from the right, it's always about policy that's convenient for them, right? So if it's policy that they're in favor of and they don't want any intervention from the federal government, it's a states' rights issue. It's a states' rights issue, right? So gay marriage, for instance. They didn't want gay marriage to be legalized on a federal level, right? Because the red states wanted to continue the prohibition of same-sex marriage. But when it comes to other issues, they want the federal government to get involved and they want them to get involved aggressively. And so in this case, look, for me, it's not a states' rights versus federal issue. It's about human rights. Yep. It's about, not having this blanket policy of imprisoning undocumented immigrants just to make prisons wealthy and private prisons wealthy especially before deporting them. I mean, it's completely counterproductive if they're genuine about their concerns about undocumented immigrants. They're concerned that, these undocumented immigrants, they're draining our resources, which of course isn't true. They actually do pay taxes. They actually do pay into Social Security, even though they're never gonna get that money back, right? They do pay sales tax. State taxes, but what's the point of detaining them in these prisons, which taxpayer money goes toward, if you're worried about them draining resources? It just doesn't make any sense. And you look at the stock of private prison companies like Geo Group, and it just completely soared after Obama got elected into office, and continues to do very well in the stock market.
It's modern day slavery. And the interesting thing is that, have you ever talked to somebody who's been in one of these detention centers?
I mean, I've done a lot of stories about them. And actually, yes, I have. On Monday, the reason why I wasn't here is because Google has been doing really great work in regard to criminal justice reform. Mm-hmm. And they're specifically focusing on people who have been imprisoned with life sentences due to nonviolent drug crimes. And so we had the opportunity to speak to a woman named Miss Alice, and she lost her job, was a single mother, was extremely desperate, had never done any drugs, and got involved in trafficking. And she got convicted of drug conspiracy and was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Yeah. Had a completely clean record, right? And so, you hear about the situation she's dealing with. You hear about, just the inhumane treatment that these people are dealing with. Yeah.
They get raped, they get beat up, they get mistreated, they're not getting fed. And what I think is, like, every time I have a conversation with somebody, a friend who's a comedian who's very conservative and feels like every time you support anything in favor of immigration rights, you're supporting crime. Like, you're indirectly supporting crime because immigrants equal crime.
Which is not true.
Which is not true. But if you're going to detain immigrants that you think are dangerous and you're going to put them in those places, then go after the gang members that are the ones who are the criminals, the MS-13 guys,
yeah,
or those. Why are you detaining? You know, I know someone whose mom was in a detention center and she's forever changed.
Yeah.
She'll never be the same because of the stuff that happened to her. And then she's afraid to talk about it because she got out and she
doesn't want to go back.
She
right?
doesn't want to go back. But it's just not those of you people who talk about the rights of the people in this country and how we pride ourselves in being unlike third world countries, that we are people that pride ourselves in knowing how to treat human beings, that we have the right to happiness and the pursuit of happiness and life and liberty. If you really believe that, then you don't believe that people should be treated like dogs. And,
that's right.
And that's really
is your conservative comedian friend funny?
No, none of them are.
Yeah, I mean, we
said it.
Our prison system has no interest in rehabilitating people. It's all punitive at this point. You know, last week was a really hard week because a friend of mine found out that her brother committed suicide. And when he was in middle school, he was caught with a little bit of pot. He ended up in juvenile hall. And while he was there, he was introduced to harder drugs. And he was all of a sudden taking heroin. And he was severely addicted to heroin and in and out of the prison system his whole life. And finally, last week, it just got so bad that he decided to take his own life. And so that's what our prison system is. This was a kid who, by the way, this was a white Jewish kid, okay?
Yeah.
So it could happen to anyone. This was a kid who did what a lot of kids do. They're not bad people, they're not violent, they have no reason to be in prison or jail or juvie, and their lives get turned upside down, all because there is this huge incentive now, a financial incentive to put people away for nonviolent offenses.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, sorry for that extreme downer, but this is what happens on a day-to-day basis that people don't talk about.
I'm trying to construct a juvie joke, but it seems inappropriate.
Just a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, I wanna have at least one more story before we end the show today, so let's get to it. North Korea recently released an American who was detained in the country. And unfortunately, we now find that Otto Warmbier has a severe brain injury and has been in a coma since his arrival to the United States. Doctors caring for the released North Korean detainee said that he has not spoken or moved since he arrived to the United States on Tuesday, a condition described as unresponsive wakefulness or persistent vegetative state. He actually did suffer from extensive loss of brain tissue in all regions of the brain. He does open his eyes and blinks spontaneously, but the doctors say that he shows no signs of understanding language or verbal commands. So he's in bad shape. He's in really bad shape. North Korean authorities say, oh, well, he suffered from botulism and he took a sleeping pill and that's what caused it. But of course, that's not the case. The doctors in the United States do not believe that's the case. In fact, here is a statement from one of the doctors here in the US. We have no certifiable knowledge of the cause or circumstances of his neurological injuries. This pattern of brain injury is usually seen as a result of cardiopulmonary arrest where blood supply to the brain is inadequate for a period of time, resulting in the death of brain tissue. Now, he was detained after surveillance footage allegedly found him taking down some sort of poster or banner. And at that point, while he was about to leave the country, he was going to the airport to leave the country, he was stopped and arrested, and he was accused of...
He was accused of espionage.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
No, yeah, exactly. So... he was found guilty of committing a hostile act against the country and sentenced to 15 years of hard labor.
Usually they don't, yeah, so.
And hard labor for them is learning the dance from Thriller. I don't know if you've ever seen the videos. Have you ever seen the videos? So on YouTube, you've seen them, the prisoners.
Wait, you're being serious.
Oh, yes. Oh. They have to learn the
choreography. I thought it was just a jab at Michael Jackson. I'm like, damn.
No. They have to learn the choreography of Thriller, and they videotape it. It's on YouTube. You can see North Korean prisoners. And they have to, and if they don't do it exactly, they get in trouble. Like, what? It's sick. It's really sick.
I mean, I would say that my first instinct was like, something is, there's some trick being perpetrated. That story's not true. But this is Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, claimed to shoot a 39 on a golf course. Mm-hmm. Said he'd never bowled a game where he got less than 300.
well, you know the story of how he was born. So I went to the DMZ line because I went to entertain troops, and they make you watch a movie about how he is born. To all of North mm-hmm. Koreans, he flew out of his mother's mm-hmm. vagina,
right,
and ascended
and flew, like literally yeah. flew, and yeah,
literally flew,
and white doves came out of there too.
Yeah.
His dad loved movies; was a big movie fan, a huge movie collection. Thousands and thousands of Western movies. But he wanted to start the North Korean film industry. It's not a super artistically creative country, as you might imagine. So he kidnapped South Korea's leading actress and her husband, a director, and they were kidnapped and spent, I don't know, 12 years, 10 years, 15 years in North Korea making movies there after they'd been kidnapped before they escaped and got back across.
My God.
So, I mean, he's a lunatic. So the notion that they would make the prisoners dance to Thriller, like at first I was like, oh, honey, you've been tricked. And then I was like, oh no, we're talking about North Korea. That's probably true.
It's insane. It really is. Look, I don't mean to blame the victim, but I can't emphasize enough how important it is to avoid traveling to North Korea.
Yeah.
Please, please don't do it. I know that there is a market for people who like to go to countries like North Korea. They think it's adventurous. Just don't put your life at risk like this. Please, please, it's not worth it.
But he was like a university, it was a school trip, right? It was a University of Virginia trip.
I don't know what the University of Virginia is doing. Yeah. Don't do it. This is a really bad idea.
And he was goofing around. I mean, here, and also, like, you know, they say he got botulism to get the brain injury.
Yeah.
He didn't. They did it.
Of course.
They did it. They knocked him over and he hit his head, and then they finally let him go, and the warm beers are critical of the Obama administration and praise Trump for getting their son out.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you to Ida Rodriguez
for
joining us
me.
Today.
Love you guys.
And thank you to Ben, as always. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We will be back next week. Make sure you catch the members-only postgame. Love you. Have a great weekend.